Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Live from downtown San Francisco, this is 95.7 The Game.
All right, up. Oh, come on.
Joe, we need Bruno. We need to jack up the energy right now. It's 9 o'clock on a Saturday. Throw us some perm, please.
Now look at you walking in here looking all pretty and angry and mean and good. I know you didn't get your head down, so you can just sit down and just sit still.
Hey, we sure have a good time tonight. Let's go, baby.
It's my birthday.
Go ahead and dance in your car, dance in your garage.
But I still look good, though.
A texter said a family was taking pictures of her getting down to this song on the bridge.
Gotta do it in the penthouse. That's why I came up.
That did it? I think we can start to fade this out. I think we've officially started the program with high energy. Where are the Warriors World, guys? They're going to be on the air again tomorrow, right? I'm glad. I was hoping that didn't just disappear the way I fear that Jim Barnett just might. That was announced this week that his role is going to be diminished. I don't know what that means exactly. They haven't really said, but JB, obviously everybody here is, if you grew up in the Bay Area, you're fond of JB, and I hope he sticks around. I hope he's guy's got great knowledge, man. He's played on some incredible teams, but just shout out to him first thing, because I've been thinking about him quite a bit this week. Probably a weird existence going from calling the Golden State Warriors games maybe the best team that's ever been assembled to even quasi-retirement. Just seems like, wow, got to be a gaping hole. But I hope he's a golfer, because if he's a golfer, then it's all you need to do in retirement, just golf. You think Antonio Brown is a golfer? I think he probably embraces the attire that a golfer might wear. What's the name of John Daly's pants, loudmouth or something like that? I could see him rocking that. But I could also, right off the bat, listen to what's BSO? Listen to BSO. Is that Black Sports Online? Yeah. That's another place. Remember, we were talking about where we get stories for good for ball, bad for ball, and I would imagine the other shows that do the same type of thing do the same thing. There's a bunch of websites you poke around, and it'll be sports-based, but it's there because it's either weird or funny or super sad or emotional, and I think the Antonio Brown thing is all of those things. It's the most fascinating thing that's happened for me in the Bay Area in a long time. We spent 4-hour show yesterday, intermittently going back to this topic, because once we got past Antonio Brown, and talking specifically about the feet, not the helmet, we'll get to the helmet thing, but specifically about the feet, my boys in the glass, I don't think they really liked my analogy. It looked like, you guys all know what rustic cut cheese is, right? It's like a cheese grater will give you fine mist of cheese. It'll give you a little bit of thickness. Rustic cut gives you flaps of cheese. And that's what Brown has on his feet. He has flaps on the bottom of his feet. And he got them from not wearing the proper attire at a cryogenic firm. How does that happen? So right off the rip, I hear that, and I'm thinking, okay, this is Jeff Kent crashing his motorcycle and trying to cover it up. This is Monte Ellis on his moped. This is, well, Mad Bum didn't really try to hide his thing, huh? He's like, whatever, dude. I get down with livestock all the time. Part of the game. You're going to get hurt. Guest line. Let me give you the guest list. I'm supposed to give you what you're looking forward to over the next 4 hours, but sometimes I get so into a topic, and I'm telling you, this Antonio Brown thing, every page you turn to, every website, every newspaper, This is the lead story in our country as far as sports goes. Antonio Brown and the helmet? Really? I'm thinking John Gruden is having second thoughts about coming back to coaching. Or is this totally not a big deal and it's a veteran using his veteran savvy to get out of camp? Because I think that's what Donald Penn did a couple of years ago. But everything we had heard, this is what's aggravating about this whole thing. When Antonio Brown first came over, he talked about what a great teammate he's going to be, and the reporters who are going to be covering him got in touch with the reporters that covered him over there. And so you get this exchange of information, and it's like this strange stew of anticipation, and I've already seen this before when you're talking the two sides of the deal. And you're starting to see why the other side is saying, you know, basically, he was a good boy for a while. That's good for Antonio. Antonio sometimes minds his P's and Q's. But everything about this story reeks of, I guess, dishonesty would be the best word. And that stinks because Antonio Brown may very well have not done anything wrong. But he did say that stuff about the helmet, so that gets lumped in. So if you might have been inclined to give AB a pass on the helmet thing, well, no, you don't get a pass. You're just a malcontent. But when he first got here, the OTAs, which are optional, and a lot of vets do skip those, and I don't have a problem with that. They've earned that. That's in the collective bargaining agreement. But Antonio Brown was the perfect soldier once he came in. He knows he's the best at his position. I read an article by, I think it was Bruce Jenkins the other day, and he was talking about what Antonio Brown does on the practice field every day. And he talked about an exchange between, I think it was an offensive line coach and a coach on the defensive side. They're standing next to each other. They had something like 25 years of NFL experience. So if they've got 25 each in the NFL, they probably got 10 in college somewhere, you know, 5 or 6 at the high school level. They have seen a ton of football. Antonio Brown routinely in practice, and this is as a Raider, has routinely done something so mind-blowing that you see the old-timers look at each other and like poke each other in the ribs and start giggling. And I get it because when I'm watching greatness that's just so ungodly great, like Jordan again, no, it was Bird against the Hawks. He and Dominique went back and forth, and the Hawks were actually cheering for Larry Bird. It's just being around greatness when you haven't seen that type of greatness, it's exhilarating. And the coaches clearly were jacked. And of course, the Raiders are jacked. Of course, Derek Carr's jacked. And everything he did struck the right note for, what, 2 months? When was that trade officially done? But he was talking to guys. It looked like he was going to be a leader. And then you started seeing the articles where they're talking to former teammates. They all swear by the guy. Now, Ben Roethlisberger, probably not going to swear by him, might swear at him. But Roethlisberger's no peach either. And I'm still willing to give Brown the benefit of the doubt. I mean, my God. They haven't played a preseason game yet. Well, the league is playing a preseason. It's opening day. Guys, it's opening day in football. It's their 17th opening day since, like, June. Here's the guest list. Jane Slater, NFL Network. She's a reporter. She's going to be with us. When we come back from this break, we're not breaking right now. Settle down. But she is going to join us. She's going to kick off, pun intended. Rob Lauder covers the Niners for SB Nation. He is a fantastic reporter. He's a great reporter. He's a great writer, but he's a funny dude, man. He's quick off the top of his head. He's going to join us at 11:30. So check that out. And then Ben Albright, also a great guest. He's a reporter for KOA News Radio in Denver. Why Denver, you might ask? Why not? Denver plays the Raiders. Denver is the Raiders. Look, any team that doesn't like the Raiders right now is stoked. You're sitting back in your chair going, yeah, how'd that $100 million deal with Gruden work out? How's that move to Las Vegas working out? How's your roster overhaul working out? Oh, you got Antonio Brown. Yeah, have fun with that. And then you'll get another set of old men giggling and poking each other in the ribs.
Hope your birthday is booming.
Is that him? Your birthday's booming, he said? Nice. I mean, he's going to be on Hard Knocks. They're going to set ratings records. I'm not like out on a limb where I'm going to fall off of it, but Gruden says he doesn't want Hard Knocks. I don't buy that either. I think Gruden is a guy who likes attention. There's nothing wrong with that. To be a head, not just a head coach, geez, to be anybody in sports, you got to have some ego. You've got to be okay with look at me, and sometimes you will encourage it. Like the Chucky face, I'm convinced half the time he's doing that on purpose. He is just a little bit crazy, so I'll give half of that genuine, but I think he does it for effect at times. Oh, if you're trying to distract me with Steph Curry putting on a mini golf thing, can you turn that off? I swear, I'll squirrel like five times an hour. Have you guys watched the show? That's what I want to hear. Have you watched the Tiger Woods show? The great, not Tiger Woods, Steph Curry. He wants to be Tiger Woods. I heard it's a genuinely funny dig in. It's not what you think. It's a good time. That's what I think of Hard Knocks, too. Even if I wasn't a Raider fan, especially right now, if I can't stand the Raiders, if I'm a Chiefs fan, Chiefs fans, they're off in the corner giggling and laughing at what's going on with the Raiders. When's the last time the Raiders carried the day in national sports? It would be Gruden's return, right? Oh, no, it might be the trade of Khalil Mack. Oh, wait, no, it might be the trade of Amari Cooper. Can someone please take the GM remote out of John Gruden's hands? He's hitting the wrong buttons. 888-957-9570. That's the number you want to dial if you want to join the conversation. There's a number of different ways we can go here, and I would like your guidance in it. Because we're going to throw a bunch of stuff out that's happened in the week that's relative to all the teams that we care so much about. And then you kind of let the audience, they'll let you know which one they're most interested in. So you spend the first hour, it's like the first few rounds of a heavyweight fight, trying to figure out where everybody's at. But we're at the AB table for the foreseeable future. Because again, it just gets better and better and better. It's almost like I'm feeling, I wish I had this many built-in teases. I've got built-in teases for a week of shows on Antonio Brown because literally every single sports site you go to is leading with him. And I'm thinking there's some people in the Raiders organization that are not only not second-guessing, but they're saying, this is exactly why we did this. Because now people are talking about the Raiders, and there is truth. I think it was P.T. Barnum. No such thing as bad publicity. Antonio Brown obviously walks that walk. The next 7 months are going to be fascinating. Between the overhyped expectations for the Niners, and we'll get into that too. Someone's going to have to explain to me how you go from 4-12 to somebody telling me they're going to go 11-1 to start the season. It's like, dude, what?
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to pay off. And so that's what the Niners are dishing you. And the Raiders are dishing you Antonio Brown. Let's see, where am I going to go? Yes, I will take Antonio Brown and his craziness.
Hope your birthday is booming.
Birthday is booming. That's going to be my new favorite drop. All right, we are going to come back. We're going to be talking with Jane Slater again. She's an NFL Network reporter. She'll be here at the bottom of the hour. And until then, as Rick Tittle likes to say, he's coming on after me, by the way, it's y'all's and your calls. There's 7 lonely lines open right now, just waiting for your name, your city, and your comments. 888-957-9570. This is 95.7 The Gate.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
I think now is as good a time as any because we're going to have one of those there guest things in a few minutes. Time for me to remind you that all guests at 95.7 The Game appear courtesy the Dialpad guest line. Dialpad helps you make smarter calls. Connect your team with a business communication platform that powers voice, video, messages, and meetings across your existing devices. I don't care what device you use. I care about you reaching out to the show and contributing. That's more important than just reaching out. I mean, we appreciate you listening, but I want you to be part of the solution, not part of the problem. And that's why the Niners are going to go 8-8 this year at best. Are you connecting those dots? Kind of obscure, kind of going around it. When I see Joe Spadoni nodding, I'm like, okay, if it got through his thick skull, it must be crystal clear.
Can't do it.
888-957-9570, the Chilton Auto Body text line, which, as usual, is pumping. That's 957-95. Antonio Brown, the big story, not just here, not just with the Raiders, not just the Bay Area, not just California, nationally. And, hey, I wouldn't be surprised if some lads at some pub in England are talking about this. News makes its way quickly across the pond, especially when it's news that just makes you go, what the hell is going on over there? Antonio Brown, okay, if your feet hurt, dude, that's fine. Get well. But all this other stuff around it, it's like the cover-up, or, I mean, we'll probably never know what's going to happen, which that's something that I never thought would happen in modern sports. It's like keeping secrets these days is impossible. But the Raiders apparently kept a lot under wraps for the first month or so after they signed him. I was under the impression, and so was everybody else who observes the team, that Gruden and he were fine. Gruden talks about him in glowing terms. But I've had several people tell me, I think Chucky might be acting here. I think this is TV Chucky saying that everything's cool when it's not. Okay, here's when I know I can kind of pinpoint where it officially became not cool. Did you see his little post-practice press conference? I think it was on Friday. And look, we've all seen him get hot under the collar. We know the look, the body language when he's bent out of shape. But he rarely does it, really rarely does it when he's talking about one of the guys his team badly needs. Badly. I mean, if Antonio Brown works out great, then maybe we can all forget about the Khalil Mack trade. He's working from a deficit. There's no doubt about that. But he was supposed to be the model teammate. He was the model soldier. He was doing everything right. And then all of a sudden, this thing blows up. He's got the cheese thing is crazy. The rustic cheese on his feet. Rustic cut flaps of skin on his feet. And here's what I mean, just me saying those words, I want to punch myself in the neck. It's words I never thought I would be stringing together. But it's not just that. It's that here's what I suspect. We don't know what happened. I'll just go ahead and give you my theory. It does all start with the feet. He obviously has some sort of relationship with a cryogenic facility. And he trusted them. And everyone who plays in the NFL that's done similar treatments, I'm sure that Brown went and did some homework, talked to his colleagues, talked to his peers. You know, how do you deal with this? How do you deal with that? Well, what you need to deal with is getting your feet better, because that's the only reason anybody ever wants you around. Get your feet better. But he decided, rather than be embarrassed by the fact that he didn't put the booties on, or it may have been a certain type of sock, but the way this happened, we're being told, is that he wasn't wearing the proper equipment or whatever, protective gear, right? I would assume you got to protect your junk when you go into one of those things too. So instead of just manning up, or maybe his friend at the cryogenics place, he doesn't want to get him in trouble and get people thinking that he's incompetent. Way too late for that, by the way. That ship has sailed. So I think he was trying to create, like, head fakes. Oh, go over there. Hey, look at this. This is a shiny rock. Oh, that rock's shiny, too. Just quit talking about my feet, okay? It was really dumb. I'm embarrassed. But instead of just doing that, which I think everyone would have been fine with, you'd have rolled your eyes, got a little chuckle. Okay, there's Antonio Brown. He's finally showed up, but he showed up in force. I mean, there's no balancing act with Antonio Brown. And the Raiders thrive on this culture. You either love Antonio Brown or you hate the guy. I think right now most Raiders fans are probably stopping short of hate. And you should, by the way, because let me see, last I checked. Oh, yes, it's August 10th. But this is a fun way to start the boring time that is the first week or two of training camp. Antonio Brown is going to make sure that this season is interesting, and I think the NFL and the Raiders and the government are in a conspiracy to jack up the Hard Knocks ratings.
On just 95. Win, baby.
On 95.7 again. Old clock issues. I'm so excited. That's why we are our first, our first guest was going to be Jane Slater, NFL Network. She's going to join us at 9:30. That's what I was told. That's what's on my rundown. But apparently that's not happening. So, I don't know. Let's just end the show. There's nothing else to talk about. Oh, she is coming? Okay. All right. So now you have two reasons to stick around. One of them is to see what Herb's plan B was going to be. And the second one is to see if this person truly exists. She's a unicorn. She's joining us at 8:30. I promise. I created the confusion there. Rob Lauder covers the Niners for SB Nation. He is going to join us at 11:30. And Ben Albright, a reporter for KOA News Radio in Denver. Do you want me to do the dial pad guest line thing again? Because I'm really getting good at it. I think I almost have it memorized. 9:25 and 57 seconds, Jim Cosmore. Jim likes to know what time it is. I don't know how often you've worked with him, but he likes to do time checks. So Antonio Brown decides, you know what? The truth is just too boring. I'm Antonio Brown. We got to spice this thing up. It just can't be a knucklehead not putting on booties, getting into a cryogenic tank. 510 on the Chilton Autobody text line. Hey, if you've got a great snappy line and you don't want to like have an extended conversation, which I tend to do with the good callers, just hit us with a text. One like this. The 510 says, maybe he bought his own cryogenic chamber and just didn't read the user's manual. Like, caution, must read this before using. No, it was a clinic, and I guess it was recommended by some people. So, I mean, somebody made a big mistake. That's what it probably boils down to. Again, we don't have any serious facts about this. That's the one thing that's conspicuous in the absence. And I don't think we're going to get any facts. Just like we never got the facts about Donald Penn, who just skipped training camp because he's tired of it.
Hope your birthday is booming.
When is Antonio's birthday? We got to celebrate with that guy, man. I got to hang out with Antonio Brown. He looks like a lot of fun. You can't deny that. And once Hard Knocks decides, okay, let's flip the AB switch, it's going to get crazy. July 10? It gets better every day, and I keep waiting for it. Usually these stories, especially with today's 24-hour news cycle, it's like it's the lead story on ESPN at 8 o'clock West Coast time. Okay, so at 11 o'clock, by 11 o'clock, the East Coasters, and by 8 o'clock for us, you're seeing, here's the best we've got. We are the worldwide sports leader. Here's what we got. And then you go back 5-6 hours later, and you can't even find that story. There's a bunch of other stories that we're told are more important. It just, that's the way news is these days. Everybody who has a Twitter account is basically an amateur videographer and reporter. Everybody is out there, and that's the way these guys have to act anyway. Like, every person they come in contact, they have to be a little bit skeptical of. What a crappy way to go through life. Just you meet someone and you're thinking already, what's this guy want from me? All the Raiders want from him are touchdown catches and a lot of yards and maybe some leadership. He is capable of leading. Oh, the picture I have, I'm sure you guys haven't seen the actual hard copy of the Sporting News. Yes, they do still do that. They print these on paper. They have a picture from Antonio Brown's introductory press conference, and it looks like he's shedding a single tear. I don't know if that's like the lighting on it, but if he's shedding a single tear, we know why, because John Gruden is sitting next to him looking absolutely miserable. And it's only August 10th. I hope he's featured in every single episode, and I hope he is an absolute circus all year long. Otherwise, why would you pay, especially if you're here in the Bay Area, why would you pay attention to the Raiders unless you're a hardcore Raiders fan? You wouldn't. There's no reason to. Why would you invest in that emotionally? But if, you know, they can get grandfathered in with the move. If you're a fan who's now going to be putting up with a franchise move for the second time, you're a hardcore fan. There's no doubt about that. But that doesn't mean you can't enjoy some trashy snacks along the way. And I think that's what Antonio Brown is serving right now. All right, our first guest of the day, no pressure. I've already been told she is great. NFL Network reporter, Jane Slater. Jane, how are you?
I'm great. How are you? Thanks for having me.
I'm pumped. I'm having the best time already because I know that Antonio Brown is never more than, you know, a click away. The guy is going to make a Raider season that I was so apathetic about. I don't even have the words to describe it, but now I'm all in. I'm all in on the Raiders, and it's because AB's a circus.
Let me tell you, having covered the Cowboys for, this is my seventh season with them, I took a little hiatus and came back. Last year was sort of one of those down years in terms of drama. I mean, there was no exciting wide receiver with Dez's departure. There wasn't Tony Romo getting injured. You know, you did have this team that was struggling when they were 3-5 heading into Tennessee, but we're so used to the drama and the dynamics in Dallas that it was a little boring. So welcome to the circus. It's what I'm used to. I'm enjoying following Oakland right now.
You know, what's crazy is that when Antonio got here, he won the press conference. Everybody fell in love with him, and that's kind of how it goes with these charismatic, magnetic personalities. And by all accounts, that's what AB is. He's also got some other stuff going on that everyone's going to spend the year, you know, trying to get the bottom of it. But he's been a good soldier, so to speak, in that everybody had good things to say about him. His teammates were raving. Gruden was going out of his way, which is rare for Gruden, talking about how much time he's putting in, what a great leader he is, how, you know, he goes above and beyond. He attacks the game like a rookie would attack the game. And in less than a week, Jane, all of a sudden, John Gruden's appearing on TV, like pissed off, like holy hell, at his star receiver. And it's everybody who's familiar with the Raider saga, the always ongoing Raider saga, is shaking their heads, rolling their eyes, and saying, same old Raiders.
You know, it's interesting. My colleague, Jeff Darlington at ESPN, good friend of mine, did a sit down with Antonio Brown during the offseason. And I did the sit down with Dez Bryant, literally 4 hours after he'd been cut by the Cowboys. Mm. And I've only dealt with Antonio Brown in a very limited sample size. I covered him at Pro Bowl. I thought he was charismatic. I thought he was magnetic.
Yeah.
He had this big personality. And when I watched that sit down, he reminded me so much of Dez Bryant. So much. They are so good to their inner circle. They are such good teammates. People like being around them. They love their energy, but they struggle with consistency. And they also struggle with keeping their emotions in check. And when they're able to do it in a healthy way, there's no better guy you'd want on your roster. But it's for Dallas, you know, in talking to people after the departure and, you know, just the feelings and the legacy that was Dez, it was a bit of emotional roller coaster in Dallas, which is unfortunate because literally when Dez was at his best, there was no better guy you'd want on your team. And people will still say,
yeah,
awesome teammate, but he had these moments of inconsistency, sort of like what we're seeing Antonio Brown, and they strike me as similar guys. They have the best of intentions. They love the game. They love playing football. They want to be a good teammate. They want to do all the right things. The execution just isn't always there.
Yeah, and that's why Gruden was raving about him. I mean, Gruden knows his team. It's right in front of him every day, and offensive production was not what you expect out of a John Gruden team because he's known as this offensive mastermind, and the offense underperformed pretty dramatically last year, and I think that's why he was going all in with his praise for Antonio Brown. I mean, he is he's one of the top five receivers of this generation, maybe top three. Some people might even put him at one, no?
Well, and you've got to think, too, if there was anyone, it was sort of like, and I keep using the Dez Bryant comparison because it's the best analogy I have. When Dez became basically a free agent and Sean Payton and the Saints took him on, you felt like Gruden, that's the one coach that can manage him. That's mm-hmm. the one guy that can handle these ups and downs. You know, I look at Gruden a lot like Sean Payton. Like, he's a player's coach. He knows how to get to them. He knows how to talk to them. He's not, you know, look at Vontaze Burfict and Richie Incognito. He is not afraid of taking on these type of guys.
That's what the Raiders do.
That's what coaches like Gruden do. And so I wasn't shocked by it. I thought it was an interesting marriage. It's an exciting marriage. I'm all in on Hard Knocks because of it. I think a lot of fans are going to be all in on the Raiders because of it. But I do hope that it sorts itself out, and I hope that Antonio Brown can be the wide receiver that he is. And a lot of us who are fans of the game of football, I think guys like Dez, guys like Antonio Brown make it more exciting to watch. So I laughed first when he came in on the hot air balloon. I mean, the headlines wrote itself, and then the cryotherapeutic speed. I don't know if you guys have ever done cryo.
I have not.
I would never even think about walking into a cryo machine barefoot. That's just me. I mean, they make you put on gloves and everything when you do it. It's exhilarating when you get done. I highly recommend trying it. Wear the proper footwear.
But that's another bizarre part of this, right? Because he's such, he knows everything about his own body. That's why he's in such terrific shape. He takes great care of himself. So to make a mistake like that, I mean, it's mind-boggling to me. This guy, the feet and hands for a receiver, that's what needs to be great. Your feet and your hands. And to not pay attention to the feet in the cryogenic chamber, it's beyond me. It wiped out all the positive vibes I had about Antonio Brown coming over here.
But now the helmet thing and threatening to not play if you're not able to wear it, I saw that. I wasn't at camp when Jason Witten was asked about this, but, he took a year off, went to the broadcasting booth, and came back to the Cowboys. He had a trusty helmet. I believe he called it Bessie. And he's not able to bring Bessie with him to the football field either. And so, look, all these other guys are adapting. It's like any place. If you work somewhere, there are rules. And if you don't like the rules, then you don't need to work there. And I get that you're used to certain things that come with your sport. I think some guys are sort of superstitious. I've seen it with guys like Drew Brees just in their pregame warm-up. All these guys have their thing. And so maybe for Antonio Brown, this is his thing, but I would think it'd be so unfortunate given all of the stuff last year, the goodwill that he had coming into the Raiders, that a helmet would be the one hang-up that prevents him from having what I think a lot of us could agree is a guy that still has a lot of juice and a guy who could do dynamic things for that fan base and for that franchise.
You're talking to Jane Slater of the NFL Network. She can be followed on Twitter at SlaterNFL. Jane, it looks like they bounce you around a little bit around the league. You're more of a national type.
I am, but even though I'm a national type, Dallas Cowboys reign, so I would spend about...
I've been told that. We were getting there.
Yeah. So I spend a lot of time there, even though I've covered a couple of other teams since my time at the NFL Network.
All right, since we're already there, Zeke, hold out, go.
That whole thing has been fascinating to me because it actually caught the organization off guard. It was unexpected. I was told that Zeke told the Cowboys he was going to be on that plane and at camp, and then he didn't. And then that's been a grinding point for the Cowboys. Amari Cooper, the wide receiver for the Cowboys, as well as Dak Prescott, their quarterback, are both up for contract, and they're at camp. Zeke, this is the year that makes sense for him to hold out when you consider they picked up his fifth-year option. This year it wouldn't cost him as much to sit out this year versus next. But the Cowboys continue to maintain, look, we've got you under contract. We've put a contract offer in place that would make you the top five highest paid at your position. You want to be top one, which is Todd Gurley. And we believe that Todd Gurley contract, along with a lot of GMs and teams that I've talked to, by the way, feel like that was a terrible deal.
Mm-hmm.
So they're trying to reset the market, and you've got his team going, look, you don't get to reset the market. Look at quarterbacks, look at wide receivers. The market is what it is. You pay where the market is set. And so that's where the rub is coming in with these two. I think tonight is going to be very, very important for the Cowboys and for Zeke when it comes to negotiations. Can Alfred Morris be that guy to carry the load? Can the rookie Tony Pollard sort of be your change-up back, that's able to play the role of Rod Smith? Alfred Morris was the guy that started five of the six games during the Zeke suspension, averaged 4.3 yards per carry. Rod Smith was the backup. And between the two, they were able to average the same amount of yards as Zeke during that time frame. So I think they're hopeful with this new Kellen Moore offense that finally, which is something we haven't seen in recent years, utilize these guys on the outside. I'm a huge fan of Michael Gallup. I don't feel like people talk enough about the guy who's in his second year at the Cowboys. And Amari Cooper on the outside. You've got Randall Cobb on the inside. You've got Jason Witten back, which is finally giving you that blocking, but also that red zone Y option threat. I think they feel like they're insulated enough that they can get through this. But I think all of us that watch football, pay attention to the game, know that if the Cowboys truly want to get to Miami, especially when you look at that final six-game stretch, they need Ezekiel Elliott. This is a guy that put up over 2,000 yards in total offense. That is hard to replace.
They're going to do nothing with him, and I think there's going to have to be a very difficult conversation, or at least one that Dak doesn't want to have. And just the way it's cost of doing business, right? They're going to go to him and they're going to say, I know you feel like you are a top whatever quarterback and need to be paid accordingly, but that Zeke guy over there in the locker room, he's a lot more valuable than you are, and we can't have both of you if we're paying you top dollar.
I don't think that's going to be the case.
Really?
I think it's going to be an either-or situation, no. I think they're standing pat on the...
No, I think they want to sign him. They just got to talk him into taking less.
I don't think it's going to happen. I think they know that Dak in that position and what he's brought to the team and how they feel about him, they're going to end up finding a way to make those numbers work. Now, Stephen Jones has come out and said, you know, we don't have a problem with these guys playing on one-year deals. You know, as he put it, and this is actually logical. You know, if you followed the team, I grew up in Dallas, so I remember the 90s team. I remember in the 2000s team. The biggest knock on the Cowboys was overpaying players, especially veteran ones, and getting nothing out of them. Their production never matched the production when they were younger. And then you have to kick the can down the line, and then they find themselves in cap hell. So finally, the Cowboys are being realistic about how they pay their players. It's just unfortunate that they're choosing to do it now with three very talented guys that a lot of people and a lot of us that watch this team feel, this is the best team you've had since 2014, maybe since the 90s, when you look at the complimentary football they've got on defense, as well as the youth of this team. If this is truly the group that you want to keep together, find a way to get them paid. And the Cowboys are saying, we're trying to do that. And look, if they win something, we have no problem pulling out the checkbook and signing whatever check needs to be paid if they get us to a Super Bowl. But right now, this team hasn't won anything. And the logical fan will say, okay, we're on board with you, front office. But I think a lot of the other fans are like, wait a minute, you guys keep saying the window's closing. If the window's closing, how are we going to get things done if you don't sign these three guys? So there's been sort of this, it's funny, I hear from all sorts of fans. There's been a panic, and then there's been the rational fan.
The stages of grief.
Yeah, I truly believe they get these deals done. But again, as Stephen Jones has pointed out, and it's a fact, the guys are all under contract right now. So for them, with the exception of Zeke, Amari's not going to hold out. Dak's not going to hold out. And then maybe this is the carrot at the end of the stick that motivates some of these guys. I mean, he's actually pointed out that Jason Garrett's on a one-year deal, and he's coaching his tail off right now. So you can look at it a couple of different ways. But the Zeke thing has been fascinating, and I have tried to really have a pulse on this thing. And every time I thought I knew what to expect, it's changed. So If I even try to predict, I feel like I'd be off on this one.
Jane, I'm going to give you one guarantee about this NFL season, okay?
Okay.
You are going to be fascinated with Hard Knocks with the Oakland Raiders. That's the best team you possibly could have booked for that gig, right?
That's the one thing we can definitely bet on. I mean, who would have thought the cast of characters that they end up loading up? I love it.
It's like the producers of the show picked the roster for training camp. I mean, it's everything you want in a show like that, and it is, as somebody on our Chilton Autobody text line just pointed out, it is so very Raiders. Jane, I'm against the clock. I appreciate you joining us, and I believe this is our first conversation together. If I wouldn't have forgotten it. This was really good. Thank you for helping us out.
First, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on, guys.
All right, take care, Jane.
Bye.
That's Jane Slater of NFL Network. She's a reporter for them, and you can follow her on Twitter at SlaterNFL. I think she's a Cowboys fan. That was one of my takeaways. That's awesome, man. She's one of those reporters of writers that you feel like you can throw anything out. You know, even she's not a beat writer, but she can handle beat writer questions, and that's what the great national writers do. It's kind of the ladder that they ascend up. Just give you a little peek inside the business. You've got 8 to 10 years of covering JV girls basketball at the high school level, and then you cover community college, and then you get 25 stories a day. No, not $25 a day for one story. $25 for one story in the huge paper that was your hometown paper. Come to find out, not that big of a paper. My hometown wasn't that big. But it's a long haul. And that's why I like talking to people who have been through it, because they've seen it from every angle. And I don't know how Jane, I don't know how old she is, but she sounds like she knows what she's talking about. We're definitely going to bring her back. Good booking, good booking. All right, we're going to talk more NFL. Rob Lauder, that's in a couple of hours, though. He's going to talk about the 49ers. We'll get into that, of course. And I want to pivot back to basketball for a little bit. So get yourself ready. Just when you thought the NBA couldn't get more crazy, I guess they decided to top Antonio Brown. It's going to be Antonio Brown does something nutty, and then the NFL, the NBA responds. It's a whole league against one guy in a race to who's going to make the news in the most ridiculous way on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back, and thank you for joining us. I'm Michael Urban. I'll be with you until 1 o'clock, at which point Rick Tittle's going to take over, and I believe he is flying solo as well. The big topic here in the Bay Area and everywhere else they talk about sports, Antonio Brown has hijacked the conversation. And the predictable text on the Chilton Autobody text line is, you never talk Raiders unless it's negative. Yeah. Think about what just came out of your mouth. Connect the dots. That's you only hear about the Raiders when it's negative. I'm sorry. And when there's high hopes. There are high hopes for the Raiders coming into this season. And I am shocked at how many Raiders fans I've heard say, here we go. They're like ready to give up. It's August 10th, people. You knew what you were getting with Antonio Brown. He's going to be fine. I have no doubt that Antonio Brown is going to be a world-class receiver for the Raiders. If he can get past the foot issue, which is the only issue, in my mind anyway. All this other stuff, it's just noise. It's training camp. You got to figure out, look, a couple of people pointed out that the reporters in Napa are making a bigger deal out of this than it needs to be. Of course, Napa is where the Raiders are training. So the media gets blamed for everything. That's just the way it goes. But that's not what is happening right here. This is not media generated. This is Antonio Brown being a serious diva. Hilarious. Jerry Rice was on our air. I believe it was a Damon Bruce show. But he's a regular now. He's one of our 49ers insiders, Jerry Rice is. And I heard him defend Antonio Brown. I heard a number of former lead wideouts defending him. Look, it's a small club. Terrell Owens, he's also an NFL insider for us now. Great interview the other day on, I believe it was a Damon Bruce show. Damon was out. But I recommend you look for it because it's really, really good. But this year for me is all about what's happening on the field. I'm tired of dealing with, that ship has sailed already, right? They've already become all about drama. But I was just hoping the Raiders would have a decent season getting out of here, a relatively quiet season, a successful season. Give me 10 wins. I think that'd be a good send-off, right? Or are you really leaving this time? Are you sure? You sure you're leaving? Okay. 10 wins would be serious overachievement. But John Gruden has coached some overachievers. I have faith in him as a coach still. Some people are talking about this as proof to their very strange, strange theory to me. I mean, the league has passed John Gruden by. He spent 10 years in the booth of the most high profile, by far the most high profile NFL show, except maybe Hard Knocks, right? But this is produced by the NFL Network. Chucky is the perfect guy to have in this job. Antonio Brown is the perfect guy to have in this job. Everything's falling into places for Hard Knocks. And you can give the Chucky face and do all of that and try to hang on to this tough guy attitude. But your season, your career, your legacy might be on the feet of Antonio Brown. if this trade doesn't work out, I don't think they will ever let John Gruden use a phone in the Raiders facility again. Because we've been told, you're making that kind of money, you're making the stew, you get to buy the stew ingredients. That's never worked out very well, by the way. I believe it was Parcells that first threw that out. If I'm cooking the meal, I got to get the groceries. Yeah, turns out cooks aren't great shoppers and shoppers aren't great cooks. That's why they brought Mike Mayock in from the outside, because it was a year of Chucky makes all the calls, personnel-wise and everything. And then real quickly they said, oh, no, that's too much. That anybody would think somebody could do a good job at being a GM and the head coach or manager or whatever they call it, depending on what the sport is. That's both of those is the type of job you hear stories about early burnout because they're sleeping in a cot on their office and they're up until 3 and they never see their family. Manny Machado is just a stud. See, I get distracted by... you know why Manny Machado went back to shortstop, but this was before the trade? Because shortstops get more money. It wasn't about, I love playing baseball, I want to play shortstop again. Nope. Got a chance to make a little extra scratch. So HBO is in love with themselves right now because they made the best call. It was the only call. I got some friends who are Niner fans who think they should have been on it because of Jimmy G and Kyle Shanahan. I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I'm around some Niner homerism a little bit, but that's overboard. I can't see a Kyle Shanahan camp being fun. And nothing against him. I'm not saying it's miserable either. He just doesn't seem like, I mean, Chucky was made for TV, right? 10 years in the booth of the biggest property they have. The game passed him by. You know what kind of access this guy had to all the front office dudes, all the players? He could helicopter in on Thursday before the Monday night game and say, I want to talk to your GM. I want to talk to your head of personnel, if that's a different person for GM. I want your OC, your DC, and your head coach. And I want your quarterback and your running back and your wide receiver and your middle linebacker. And you get it. That's it. Bill Belichick might be listed as a GM and coach. There's no way he's doing both of those jobs. It's physically impossible. Seriously, those are 80 to 100-hour jobs. And you're just going to give a guy who the game passed him by. No, he had access to all the brightest minds, all the tape he could ever want to watch. Every trend that has come and gone in the NFL over the past decade, John Gruden has had the type of access that makes you not only understand what's going on around the league, but master it just by the volume of people in the league that you get to talk to in that position. I think he says some of the things he says to feed the fan the flames. I really do think he's toying with reporters at times because he knows his rep and he knows they'll eat this up. I'll give him a little snarl and it'll be on the front page of the paper the next day. I mean, he's a walking Hard Knocks episode. So you could take a bunch of guys, perfect. Go on down the line. You could spin off. Like, remember, who was it? Joey had a spinoff from Friends. Terrible, terrible television. I'm not saying it would be good television to have a Chucky spinoff, but I wouldn't bet against it. I sure like to follow Chucky around every Sunday, or all week for that matter. But Antonio Brown, the circus was, yeah, it wasn't front and center. Maybe it was. Maybe the NFL. Look, the Raiders did a great job of hiding whatever problems had been with Antonio Brown because when he came in, we were told and saw and he said that he was just a different guy. He wants to be a leader. He wants to help him build this thing. Everything was perfect. He was hitting all the right notes. And all of that stuff came before Hard Knocks made their decision. Antonio Brown, I can envision a room of HBO executives with a speakerphone in the middle of a conference room, and all the mucky mucks with all the money are sitting around it, and Antonio Brown, much like a kid would hold a signing day when they get to college, you know, got three hats in front of you, and you got to pick it out. Well, when the NFL Network picked up the hat and it was Oakland Raiders, I'm seeing that entire room explode because you couldn't ask for a better team to be on Hard Knocks. Bill Belichick sure is making a mockery of the GM head coach combo, am I right? I don't know. What's the subtext of that text? Are you saying I'm a jackass? You're not wrong there either. But I'm telling you, Bill Belichick, sure, he probably has the veto on personnel issues, but he doesn't have to do everything else that goes with being in that position.
Yeah, well, we're on to Cincinnati.
Thank you. And I wouldn't want him to. Could he be a great GM if he didn't coach? I wouldn't put it past him. He's obviously a brilliant football mind. We already know what he can do as a coach, but doing both of the jobs? There's a team, and it killed me that Sports Illustrated did this. I grew up reading Sports Illustrated. I think that's probably why I'm a writer. Every week we got it. Every single week, I absolutely devoured it. Hang on just a second. Got a lump in my throat. Water rules. Remember that episode of Friends? Spadoni's looking at me like, dude, I wasn't alive when that show ran. Yeah. They had a spinoff. They had, I think Kramer lasted like 2 weeks. Elaine has had a couple of shows since then. Quick, the most successful of the Seinfeld principals, post-Seinfeld, other than Jerry, of course. Out of that whole crew, cast of characters, directors, whatever, who's had the biggest career post? Larry David. Yes. Very well done. Although I did like the Veep. She's a great actress. She's got good comedic timing. I saw her on with Craig Ferguson recently. Craig Ferguson, I hope you guys watch that. You got to watch it. You got to DVR it. Just listening to the guy talk. If it's not Scottish, it's crap. But he's not like the friendly uncle who's just sounds funny, so we listen to him. He's lecherous, man. Every actress that goes on there, he's trying to get at it. And it's turned into a segment on YouTube where it's called Him and the Ladies. And now they're already up to like 23, 24. So congratulations. You get a late night television show and you become the lecherous executive in the Me Too world. That's not really good timing for anybody. You are listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM, and HD1 San Francisco, radio.com sports station. We have to say that every hour, and after I say it every hour, I say this. Don't be afraid of radio.com. It's super easy. I am that guy who's afraid of it. I'm intimidated by technology. Don't be. Super, super easy.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.